Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite divine wisdom, joy, and laughter. Our engaging topic this evening will be financial crisis and economics. I, myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host
Oni Avedisian,
are here to discuss that and so much more with you.
Hello, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us this evening. Now, as usual, this show is all about listener participation. We would love to hear your questions and comments during the second part of the show in about 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes. Make a note of the number now, and we will be repeating it before we open to call. The number to call is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227.
Thank you, Ani. You know, right now we are facing an opportunity in financial crisis. Clearly, from your perspective, listeners, callers, and all of us participating in what's happening, watching it, and reacting to it, we have the great energy of abundance that is an opportunity for change, and that is what is in our laps, in our hearts, and possibly we are creating in our lives. And I want to talk about financial crisis in many different perspectives and dimensions. I want to talk about I want to talk about the mass consciousness in relationship to poverty consciousness, in relationship to that we are first energy beings of light, and that energy moves through the emotional body, the physical body, the mental body, first, and then out into this world. We are like a projection screen with each other and ourselves in relationship to not only what has happened, but what's possible to happen. So I want to talk about the difference in energy between wanting something and really being prepared for that change, and knowing that in the wanting of something, wanting greater abundance, wanting a government and a body of work that flows in oneness, that flows where all are creating balance and equality, that individually in our own lives is an opportunity to relate to the energy of abundance. The energy of abundance is an expansive one. It's a large energy. It would never define itself as less than. And if we're not able to align with that abundance and that expanded energy in our thoughts, in our emotional body, in our reactions, in our mental body, then we are in a contraction. We are in a contraction energetically. We are wanting that expansion to come in, but we are energetically contracted. So I really invite all of us to focus on how can we expand our internal dialogue, how can we integrate that energy to expand within our emotional dialogue and our reactions with others. So really know that if you are desiring greater abundance in your personal life and then as a projection screen into the outer world, are you in a place where you are creating that in your thoughts? Are they expanded, etc.? So if you're waiting, if you're in a situation of waiting for your present situation to change, have you shifted your inner focus? Are you ready to receive? Because receiving is a huge part of being in an expanded, financial, abundant place. And part of that is a lot of people wait for their income to grow. And I want to invite all of us to really look at the word income. Let's break it up. In space come. So the word really means that from within comes the abundance, not from outside. The outside is an extension and an expansion of us. But if you're looking for the income to grow and to have the physical experience of that in your present life, then I invite you to really look at the word income, that you are an energy being, and the source of energy and money and abundance flows into you. It's coming into you and then from you. So be that preparation and be that change, not separating yourself from the flow. If you're looking at outside of you and you're looking at the world, and not only are you reacting to the fear that's out there, but you're also reacting to how that fear and that contraction can affect your own life. Pay attention that you don't contract even greater, that you don't move into a consciousness of survival mode, that you don't move into a fight-and-flight mode, and then you start feeling as though it's harder, even greater, for you to get clarity, for you to feel financially stable. You start feeling that even though you're trying harder, you are taking action and doing more, but energetically, pay attention. Have you expanded and are you breathing deeply before you take those actions? Or are you reacting to the fear outside, contracting, and trying to hold steady to what you have? So I invite everyone out there to really look at that and communicate with yourself, because you are first energy, meaning that your light body expands like a hologram way beyond your physical body. And as messages come into you and from you, they move through all your light body, all the dimensions that you exist on, the subtle dimensions, and then into the physical manifestation. So really look at the energy that you're holding and then take action to prepare to receive that incoming abundance and to create from it. I'm really looking at you're an instrument of energy, and that you are navigating the fullness you allow yourself to feel and claim in receiving as a tool for everyone out there, regardless of your state of being financially or not. I invite everyone to not define who they are, their place in the universe, or with each other based on their financial numbers or their financial state of being first. Secondly, I invite everyone to use as a tool the ability to really breathe in daily and make it your own. Use your own words, your visualizations, but really breathe in daily the abundance of incoming energy, and that with that, the message that you are open to receive, that you are open to receive even beyond what you consciously can really imagine, so that you don't even limit how you're receiving, but that you are open to the universe to receive on all levels, and that you are open to connecting to the mass consciousness outside of poverty conscious in an abundance to help affect the mass consciousness. And so really what we're looking at is taking responsibility for the energy you are attracting in your life, taking responsibility for the energy you're attracting in your life, and that you make a difference, not only for you individually, but for the whole. One of the invitations is for you to really look at how nothing can stop the person with the right mental attitude from achieving their goal. Nothing on earth can help the person with the wrong mental attitude. So one of the things to think of is to not just think, but use your thinking to indicate to you on an emotional level, on an energetic level, and on a spiritual level, where have you not yet claimed that it is your birthright to receive, and that you are part of that bigness. The quote I just mentioned, that nothing can stop the person with the right mental attitude, was from Thomas Jefferson. And so a lot of this information, none of it new, but a reminder, a confirmation, and a validation to your own infinite wisdom that you have not only access to an internal wisdom and feeling body, but give yourself permission to reach deep into even the unknowing of that. Take some deep breaths. Focus on, are you tuning into a lack of circulation? Are you focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do have? Is your outgoing energy exceeding your incoming energy? Your upkeep will be draining and dragging you if that's the case. I want to say that again. If your outgoing energy exceeds your incoming energy, you're going to feel a weight and a burden. You're going to feel like you need to constantly keep that up, and you will feel greatly drained. So the invitation for everyone today, everyone that's listening and participating in their wholeness, is to really look at all that's happening in the world as an outer reflection of what's possible for change inwardly, then claim that change and know that it's It is not a statement of truth in one moment and then discarding it and going back to the normalcy of the groove you've created in your life. It's a dialogue, an internal and outer dialogue, that is daily, you tuning into the commitment with yourself in an intimate relationship with not only what's going on in the world, but what's going on in your world. Are you at the precipice right now of creating change? If you are, get rid of fear, breathe deep trust into the process. Don't get stuck in the details. Don't give yourself the opportunity to stop in the reasons why it shouldn't, it can't, and it won't. Instead, look at that you are energy first. And the reason I'm talking about you are energy first is we really cannot create a solution for a problem at the level that it was birthed. And so you want to look at the world and the unconsciousness or the actions that were taken from individuals, yourselves in your own lives, and all of us together as a mass consciousness, that knowingly or unknowingly we have participated in the outcome, and not to stay stuck there, but for the movement forward to be, how can you create movement in your own life? And I invite everyone to move through their energy first, go to a higher, bigger perspective in order to create a change on the physicality screen that you are participating in. So with that said, that is an invitation to all you beautiful lights in this world and this tremendous amount of energy source, fuel, and empowerment that is available to all of us right now as the opportunity that we're facing in this financial crisis, that it is really a rebirth, and it is happening globally because we are all ready to rebirth on a global level. So, Ani, what are your thoughts?
Thanks for that, Cynthia. Actually, you made some really good points on that one. I'm going to go back into archives after the show and make some notes. But I really like what you said about, you know, going to that big creative place and looking down on this little problem. We have to keep reminding ourselves to do that. You know, look through the eyes of the creator, everybody, and the problems aren't so big. So anyway, hey, you know, the imprint is so strong when we grow up. We're all given many mixed messages, I think, about money. I know I certainly was over the years. I hail from this crazy Armenian family, you know, immigrants from the island of Cyprus to the British Isles. Crazy, crazy, wonderful people. My mum's side of the family, I have to say, and if any of my family are listening, please, this is how things were from the perspective of a young child, so let me off the hook, all right? So my mum's side of the family made serious money, and they really enjoyed what it did for them. It put the world in the palm of their hands, and that's a good thing. You know, enjoying their good fortune, sharing it, it gave them a sense of security, which allowed them to fully express themselves as expansive beings. And that's what we are, we're expansive beings. So they traveled, they gave lavish parties, they supported charities. My grandmother, Ophelia, who you'll be hearing a lot of, you know, in the weeks to come, because she taught me so many lessons, she's a larger-than-life character, and her name really is Ophelia. You know, she used to serve food at the Salvation Army shelters, dressed in Chanel and Japanese pearls. She did, because she wanted everyone to know that boundaries were illusions. And in all those years she did this, she never got mugged once, she never got robbed, everybody loved her, you know, it was... She drove an ambulance during the war and afterwards as well. And she would always, and I kid you not, she would always have her vanity case with her so that she could touch up her makeup. Because she said, you know, if you just had an accident, you've been shot or something terrible, wouldn't you want a pretty respectable woman comforting you? You know, I don't think that she actually knew CPR, God bless her. I mean, ambulance people in England didn't do that. They just drove you to the hospital. But, you know, this is how she felt. She was like, you know, let's look good. Let's show people that you can look good and be part of society. It was wonderful. So she did all this charity stuff. We learned how to be good citizens and civic beings. And then we'd all go off for the summer to our house in the south of France. And I thought, this is the life I want. If this is what money does for people, hurrah, sign me on, you know. Now, my dad's family, on the other hand, and again, this is no indication of where they are now because we have all come a long way. Well, my dad's side of the family, God bless them, were not so well off. And in general, the vibe around them was cautious, a little internalized, quite bubbling, sometimes a little silent resentment. On my mum's side, they were noisy people. They decided to participate. On my dad's side, they were quiet people, and they thought they were victims of fate. So, you know, that's the imprint that I came from. So let me share a couple of things with you. Things I have learned from my family and other animals about prosperity. All right? Number one, if you want financial success, don't condemn those who have achieved it. The law of attraction plays in all things at all times. You cannot attract the opposite of what you project. Besides which, when you throw dirt, you lose ground. All right? And if you don't know much about the law of attraction, go out and buy the Collective of Abraham books and learn about it. It plays in all things at all times. Number two, in a crisis, and people are always telling us that there's a financial crisis, in a crisis, financial or otherwise, do nothing. Stand back and observe. People make a lot of noise in a crisis. Have you ever seen the floor of the stock exchange, any stock exchange? People are running around like blue-ass flies, screaming and shouting. Who do you think with all that going on? And billions of dollars are being exchanged. I mean, that in itself has to be a coup, you know? Intuition is cultivated in silence. Don't buy into the drama. Simply observe. And then ask yourself, what am I choosing to see? Point number three from my family. Don't be afraid of money. What do people worry about most? Money. What makes them happiest? Lots of money. What makes them unhappy? Not having money. So let's ask ourselves, what is money? A coin? A piece of paper? What is it really? Money isn't real wealth. It's a device for measuring wealth. It can't be defined for what it is. It can only be defined by the function it serves. Nothing really happens until you spend money. It's just another form, like Cynthia was saying, of energy. An energetic current. It's currency. You spend it. You activate it. It starts a chain reaction. That was currency.
Was that a credit card machine?
That was the currency. Okay, that's me spending money, which I do a lot of, you know. You spend, you activate, it starts a chain reaction, yeah? Spend money, it's all right. There's plenty to go around, yeah? Ask yourself, and this is the one of the things that I had to really grow up and learn to do. How do you relate to money? Do you think of it as an extension of you? Well, you should, because your money is an extension of you, just like any other form of energy that comes from you. Do you bless it when it comes in? Do you bless it when it goes out? You should. Bless it tenfold coming in, bless it tenfold going out. Even if you're writing to the IRS, you know, make it, you know, give them money too. Bless it tenfold for them. Are you afraid to check your bank balance? You'd be surprised at how many people are. You know, how can you bless it and allow it to multiply if you're afraid to look at it? Again, it all goes back to the imprint. What were we taught about money? What were we taught about people who had money? Now, everyone has a different experience. I appreciate that. But I think it's safe to say that the vast majority of us here tonight and out there, it's safe to say we weren't raised by millionaires or gifted enlightened metaphysicians. So, you know, think about what we're taught. Paul was misquoted in the Bible. Now, well, pretty much everybody was, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. But, you know, that thing that we were all taught at school, Paul was supposed to have said, money is the root of all evil. Okay? How many times have we heard that over the last 2,000 years? Money is the root of all evil. What a terrible imprint on the collective consciousness. You know, I always wanted to know, if money is the root of all evil, then why do churches keep hitting us up for cash? You know, inquiring minds want to know. Think about it. How can money be both a sought-after commodity and a spiritual handicap? I mean, isn't that odd? Isn't truth supposed to make sense? Yeah? I think perhaps Paul must have said something like, the love of money is the root of all evil. He wanted us to start seeing money as a divine resource. He wanted us to start thinking as divine beings. Well, then, of course, If we do that, everything is a divine resource. All right? Moving right along, point five from my crazy family, things that I have learned from observing them. God is not the dispenser of divine substance. I have my father's good authority on this. God is divine substance. God doesn't come and go. God, spirit, creation, simply is, always. What that means in real time is that there's no lack in the universe. There can never be a shortage of substance anywhere in the universe. If we experience lack, we're blocking the flow somehow. So lack is an obstruction in our creative process. And we were created to create. Let's never forget that. We were sent out to boldly go where no spirit has gone before and create new worlds and new realities. So, a spiritual mind, one that is aligned with its divinity, cannot be affected by the fluctuations of the economy. Yeah? I do believe the truth is literally right on the money. Now, we're on the radio, so you can't see this. But Cynthia and I have a huge pile of $100 bills in front of us. A huge, massive pile, and it's a beautiful sight to behold. Yeah? So, what does it say on the back of our banknotes? Let me take a look. Oh, look. Look at this, Cynthia. It says, "In God we trust." And I think that says it all. The truth really is right on the money. You know, we created this physical reality, and somehow we decided that money is essential to this experience. So, it's really okay to have some. Don't bash cash. Cash is good. Now, I know there's some of you out there who feel guilty about having tons of money because of, you know, what you've been taught about rich people. Hey, think of it another way. I want to relieve your guilt here. Perhaps we don't need money. Perhaps the money needs us. Just a thought. I mean, think about it for a minute. It can't spend itself, can it? It needs us to activate the energy and to start the flow. So, making money, spending money, you're doing the world a favor, people. How cool is that? Yeah? So we really need to change how we think about money. Yeah?
Ani, that it was enlightening, and I did not know those perspectives from your family, so thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome. I'm happy to share my family with everyone. Are we opening to calls?
Absolutely. We are opening up to callers and questions and comments, and share your beautiful selves with us as one united consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
While we are waiting for that, I really want to invite people to think about where you are right now in your life, and that where you are exactly right now is a sign. Your life is talking to you out loud. And if you're being pressured, pushed, and feel that the burden is too heavy, instead of feeling like you need to run from it or get rid of whatever is representing that, I invite you to look at it energetically, that this dimension sometimes pushes upon us when our soul contracts with whomever or whatever are for us to claim our freedom in that place within ourselves, our birthright, and are you breaking through? Are you breaking through and reaching beyond that pressure to claim your right to not even be pressured? This life, this dimension, is what I call the plane of demonstration, and many times what occurs in individual lives or in the consciousness of groups is a pressure builds, or there is a secondary impression upon others that they need to be a certain way. If you are feeling either lost within your thoughts, yourself, or feeling that others are expressing who you are to you, but it does not reflect your inner truth, you might not even know your inner truth, you just know it doesn't feel right, then when you think, what is the next step in claiming my abundance and my freedom, in aligning with the mass consciousness in that abundance, look to where you are feeling contracted, look to where you are feeling that you are being pressured, and break through by an action, an intention, or a communication to yourself. You are not working alone, you are working with universal energies. It would be like as if the universe was an orchestra and you are an instrument. What music do you want to create? What is this symphony that you are expressing in this universe, not just what is the title you are holding by daughter, son, etc., in relationship to others, but as a universal being, you have a birthright that you might not have claimed yet, and that is to be abundant. And that is to be abundant even if others would look away from you. If you're feeling that to be abundant, you would be different and you would lose people, you would lose situations. It is not the invitation for you to lose, and actually quite the opposite. It is in choosing your personal freedom by claiming your truth or the feeling of what feels right to you, that then you are able to really invite others into your expanded light. And it is up to them if they will join you, not for you to carry them. See, we are all mirrors and teachers to each other, no one greater or less than. So the opportunity is to be a mirror and a teacher from your own wisdom and let life, your life, talk to you out loud. Go beyond what your mind tries to sort through and allow your feeling body to start communicating with the rest. I wanted to share a quote, and the quote was, "Capital, as such, is not evil. It is its wrong use that is evil." And that was Mahatma Gandhi. So capital, as in abundance or money, as such, is not negative or wrong. It is the wrong use that creates the imbalance, the negativity, and the complete destruction. So the invitation to you all is to really look at, first, that money is energy. So how is your relationship with that energy? And then physically, how do you allow that relationship to treat you, and how do you treat it?
Fantastic, Cynthia. Couldn't have put it better myself. That's why you did it. I want to just invite you to give us a call again with your questions and comments. 1-877-876-5227. That's 1-877-876-5227. You know what you were talking about, Cynthia? You're saying really study universal principles and align yourself with these principles. And I think that's one of the things we have to keep reminding ourselves all the time. We read all these metaphysical truths, and they make sense to us, but we have to keep reminding ourselves that unless we put them into practical application, nothing happens.
Right.
So, you know, I thank you for reminding us that, because there are days I have to remind myself over and over again, align yourself with the universal principles. Yeah. Be willing to make changes. You know, if your life's a little off track now and you're not doing so well, why cling to the old habits and the old belief system? You know, allow the universe to blow your mind. I say, allow the universe to support you. You know? So, one more time, I'm just going to give that number out. It is 1-877-876-5227. 1-877-876-5227.
Thank you, Ani. You know, what I do, what I have the honor to do and to experience every day is what I often say is to sit in front of masters unknown. They're not unknown to me. I'm a telepathic intermediary. Every day I have the extreme awe and profound ability to sit either in front of somebody physically or their hologram if they're on the phone with me and communicate with them on a level of the heart, on the level of love, on the level of their originating soul signature, which means that when they were born with all of possibility and nothing was impossible. I sit in front of these beings, these beautiful light beings, in all different forms, ages, and sizes, and they are masters unknown to themselves with the opportunity and possibility of really reaching deep within them and yourselves, and pulling forth the magic and the dream that you might have had as children. I invite listeners to use as another tool to think back on a time in your childhood, whether it was a time that you can locate or one that you recreate now in your adulthood, and to really look at recreating the moment when the energy and the feeling, the emotion, and even the mental processes all aligned to everything is possible. I invite everyone right now to look at what they're feeling is impossible in their lives, whether it is coming from them or ask them from another, and invite them to see the situation, breathe into the situation, the possibility, and then allow themselves to sit in the energy that it is resolved, that it is resolved. Allow yourselves to be the vehicle of that resolution by first feeling the energy through all of your senses, and then allowing yourself at least 3 days before you decide it didn't work and it's not going to stick and never mind. And so I invite everyone as a tool to really become the change that you seek to see. And that has been said in so many different ways, in so many different languages, and for centuries. And so now I invite you at this time to really be that for yourselves and feel the hands of your, what I call your counsel, your angels, your guides, and your loved ones on the other side. Feel them grabbing your hands and filling you with the fuel and the source of what is never ending. And that is love, and that is possibility.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of us have difficulty wrapping our minds around our divinity and understanding that, you know, the universe has no shortage of substance. And that if we really align ourselves with all the love and all of the creative process and stick to those principles, things can only go right for us. We start to swim downstream instead of swimming upstream and becoming exhausted. You know, we tend to really stay on this planet a little bit too much. We need to get off the planet once in a while. don't you think so? Since everyone's like, oh, I've got problems with this, I've got problems with that.
I know there's a Starbucks up there.
Yes. There has to be. Otherwise, I know you won't be going. So, yeah. You know, what I hear, I do energy work. I don't do the work that you do. And I do energy work, and I have my hands on people all the time, and they're always, oh, you know, Ani, how can I manifest? How can I manifest good health? How can I manifest money? And I'm like, stop crying. Just chill. Let's teach you how to, you know, align yourself vibrationally. And I try to teach these divine principles, and it all comes back to, yes, but I don't make enough money from work. So, you know, we have to, let's think about something. Where does your money come from? Where do you think your money comes from? The majority of people say, well, you know, from my paycheck. So as long as we think of it as something that's coming in from our paycheck, from this planet, as opposed to something that's a divine resource, it isn't going to happen. Now, we all have to work one way or the other. So how do we wrap our minds around this? How do we shift our consciousness? Well, you know, there's this great poet, Khalil Gibran. He's a Lebanese-American poet, philosopher, sculptor, dapper man around town. I mean, this guy was just, he was fantastic, yeah. One of the things he said that I love, and it still resonates, it taught me so much, is if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, then you should quit your job and go sit at the temple and beg alms from those who work with joy. And let me tell you, when I was working in the corporate world, that really shifted my consciousness. You know? Always remember, the world doesn't owe us a living. But the universe that loves us unconditionally does. So, we're going to take a look at work, but first of all, we are going to pause, because I do believe we have a caller.
We do. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, yeah, so I had a question. I think I, like many people, are concerned about unfolding events next year. And in my situation, see, I have a problem. I worked for the government several years ago, and I witnessed some disturbing events. Actually, I worked for the Department of Homeland Security down in Florida. And you see, my problem is that I really having trouble imagining where I'm going to be in a year or 2 years, you know, just given the situation, you know, on the political scene and given what I've witnessed.
You know, I'm having trouble hearing you, so if you could speak up.
Yeah, so I'm having trouble kind of picturing myself where I'm going to be in like a year or two, you know, because, you know, with the political events unfolding, it, you know, it's just I think it's difficult for myself and for other people to kind of, you know, picture where we're going to be in a year or two. I was wondering if you can provide any kind of, you know, comment or insight on that, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of people are, you know, afraid right now. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, first I would say to you, thank you for the question, that individually, where you're going to be in a year or two, instead of looking at, and I'm talking first individually for you as an invitation, and again, only if it resonates, look into what's being shared. But with that, the invitation to you is when you're trying to look into the next year and the year after that, and you're getting fear, or you're getting lack, or you're getting confusion, then bring it in a bit, bring the energy in a bit to not 2 years from now, but what will you do tomorrow? What will you do in the next month? What and how can you change within yourself? So it's not so much what physically can you, what action can you take to assure yourself immediately that the next 5 or 10 years are going to be exactly what you want. The invitation is that those 5 or 10 years will be exactly what you want based on what you do right now, what you contemplate. And I understand and feel from you that the experience you went through still reverberates fear and concern in you. And so when you are creating, when you are tuning into your feeling body, when you are tuning into your mental body and you are trying to breathe in this abundant change and light and whatever it looks like for you individually, try and not include in that equation the breath of the fear and of the past. Try and really create a scenario where you are in the moment, sitting right where you are in the moment, looking even at your surroundings in that moment, relating to just that moment, starting to breathe in a different kind of energy, a different source of energy that's not dependent upon the fear of the past being dissolving in order for you to have insight into your future. So that's the invitation first, for you to do some exercises, some communication personally with yourself in order to even begin to move away from the past and be able to relate to yourself in the present and contemplate that the present moment has enough fuel for you to catapult yourself into the future. But you can't skip from the past into the future without addressing the present. When you skip that, you end up returning to it. So with that said, as far as the future of the world, as far as the decisions of government and large bodies of consciousness, there is great change happening right now, and what I am seeing in the hologram of the universe and the hologram of the communication worldly is there is more light and there is more opportunity going to be created than ever before, because where something dissolves and is destroyed, there is idea and there is inspiration from one that links to the other and to the other that creates the opportunity for a new beginning. And that is what's happening right now. Again, your individual perspective can be coming from fear or love, hope, trust, or feeling defeated. I invite you all, if you're in a position of limited view, for you to put that aside and give yourself the view of an unlimited breath and opportunity to really feel an energy that is untouched by these events, but is an energy that is raw and pure and coming to you with only the tools, fuel, and possibility of what you can do. So don't base your future so much on your past as be in the present moment, connect with this universal energy, and when you, instead of asking, what will I do, first become a vessel and a vehicle to receive what is possible. Not even in a vision yet or words, just the energy of being able to breathe deeply without fear in it. Ani?
I totally agree. Well said, Cynthia. You know, don't waste the present by worrying about the future. Don't waste your thoughts on ideas that are worthless to you. You know, it's from the inside out. You have the power. What do you want to see happen? You know, be in the now.
The other thing is if fear is plaguing you, and it is, fear, the energy of fear, false energy appearing real, it is almost like it is the last forefront with the dimension of the earth for fear to play itself out. Let's just take that into as an example. What if this is the last frontier of fear to manifest itself physically on this dimension? It's going to go for it, and it's going to go for it at huge extremes. So wherever you're in fear about something past or future, that energetic is wanting and inviting you to join it, because fear does not sustain itself. It must be fed. It must be fueled. So it creates situations by those who are able to be affected by fear, those who are contemplating fear. You guys feed into the fear, it grows, and then it is able to sustain itself even longer on this dimension. But there is more. Do not lose hope, and do not lose the ability to stand in the possibility of light. There is more light, there is more trust, there is more hope and wisdom now upon the earth than ever. I would say matching that negativity and that fear and beyond it.
No, I have nothing to add to that, really, Cynthia. I think you've wrapped it up really well there. You know, let's lose the fear, let's move on. We really are moving on to a golden age. It's not just propaganda, you know, propaganda for the light. We are moving into the golden age.
Well, into the golden age together. So caller and all those who are listening, you're not moving into it or out of it alone. If there is an inspiration for one individual, if there's insight for one, then that connects to the mass consciousness that then is fueled for you simply when you breathe in and you say, I'm going to open myself up to taking in and continuing this breath from one person that inspired me and feeling what it feels like to move through me. And that is where we are all connected, and that is where you are not left out but inclusive. Thank you, caller, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Cool. That was a good question.
Very good question.
Because you're going to hear that a lot, you know, going forward. Yeah. Actually, you know, in keeping with that, I'm very hopeful about this new age, and I'm really hopeful about what's happening on, going on. And it's a good time to ask ourselves, to reassess, since the world is changing and we are the world, are we doing what we want to be doing? You know, are we happy when we get up and go in the morning? Are we at the right place for this vibrational change? You know, I mean, how many hours do any of us spend at work? You know, are we growing in our work, or are we just pushing time? This is a fabulous time for us to stop at the dawn of this new age and reevaluate what our contribution is, you know, and ask the questions, you know, why do we work? Why do we get up in the morning? Why do we brush our teeth, take a shower, get dressed, show up somewhere? You know? If it's only to get enough money to feed and clothe ourselves, then, quite frankly, we're being shortchanged. You know, we shouldn't think of our work as something external. Times are changing. Consciousness is changing. You know, instead of a means to make a living, it should be a means to maybe live our making. Yeah. We spend a lot of time at work, all of us. We need to be evolving there spiritually, too. If we're not growing at work, then, you know, perhaps we're just living the same work day over 365 days a year. And if that's what we're doing, we really need to reevaluate, because we're wasting our time here on Earth. And, you know, let's not do that. I think I heard a beep, Cynthia.
Yes, hello, caller.
Yes, I would like to pose a question.
I'm sorry, what?
Can you hear me?
Can you speak up just a little?
Hello?
Hello? I can hear you.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'd like to pose a question to Ani.
Mm-hmm.
When we're on our own, I work in the business world, and when I'm in my office, how do you manifest your own kind of wealth? What kind of techniques can you use, like when you're in the office or when you're working?
You mean to keep motivated?
Yeah, you know, to bring about your own confidence and your own feeling to create wealth and success.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you actually work for somebody else now? Is that what I mean? I'm sorry, the caller, it's just that it's so difficult to hear you. You are you working in your own business? Are you working?
Yes. You know, like when you're at work, what kind of techniques can you use when you're at work to manifest your own wealth?
Gotcha. Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I say when I'm at work is, what's my job description? What is my job description, and what am I doing here at work? First of all, am I wasting my time here, or am I fulfilling my job description? The other thing I ask myself is, you know, am I getting everything I need from this job, training, coaching, that type of thing? And am I giving everything that I have back to this place? So that if I stay here or I leave here, it's, you know, I'm blessed. That's a very important thing, is to, wherever you are, start from where that place is. Make peace with your decision to be there. And bless continually all that you have learned and all that you're learning there, be it good, bad, or ugly. All right? And in terms of evolving in that respect, it's like, again, align yourself with Source. You know, whatever your line of work is, does it inspire you? You know, can I ask you a question? Does your line of work inspire you? Okay. Hello, the caller dropped, right?
We have lost the caller.
We have lost the caller. I didn't realize I was that boring. I am so sorry, caller. I bored you, and you dropped the phone, and now you don't want to talk to us anymore. I'm so sorry. Well, you know, well, I guess I could probably answer your question by continuing on with what I was saying in the first place, which is all about how we can remain motivated in the workplace. You know, if we're bored out of our heads at work, or even worse, if we're miserable then we're losing our vitality, and that means our level of consciousness is crashing, and that regulates the flow of abundance into our life. So, you know, I say when we're at work, let's stop, let's regroup, let's rethink, let's start from, you know, where are we, what are we doing? And wherever we are, let's make peace with our decision to be there and resolve any of the emotional issues that we have with our work so that we don't take the same set of problems with us to the next place. So I work as part of corporations. You know, I've made a lot of money. I've done all sorts of things, and I never kept any of the money, and I was never very happy, and I wish I had this advice to go on, you know. When I was a younger person, I wish I had the emotional involvement that I do now, you know. I would take the same set of problems from one place to another, yeah. And perhaps sometimes we really are happy at work, but we're just feeling sorry for ourselves because, you know, we don't get what we think we deserve. Again, let's reevaluate our decision for being there, our reason for being there, and what our contribution is to the collective.
And an invitation would be, while you're at work, you're going to have good days and bad days. You know, as human beings, we are a compilation of the wholeness of who we are. You're going to have days where you really feel like you are connected to being there, where you really feel that your connection there is not only helping you, but others. It's all of it. It's all of it at the same time. And so I invite everyone to remember that we're here at work or otherwise to affect one another. And then also, if you're feeling stuck at work, like Ani was saying, really look at where it is that you are holding fear about breaking free from that, where it is that you are not taking some time in your private life when you are not at that job to start creating a blueprint and a map of something that does inspire you, joining a group or a collective or a consciousness that does empower you, or even doing your own creativity. But really looking at how to create a rite of passage and a bridge, as if you are doing something that does not inspire you or reflect who you are, then use the time when you're not there, if you don't want to jump ship, if that's too scary. When you're not there, use the time to start creating the foundation for a new ship that really sets sails and does talk about who you are and makes you feel inspired. And if you really enjoy your job but you don't feel inspired, so that's what's missing, then feel free to create a gathering for others, and you will find them, by the way, that in your actual job description and in your actual lunchroom that you meet on your 15-minute break, and that you inspire each other or that you share quotes that inspire each other. Some avenue and venue that inspires you will, without cause, will most definitely. So it doesn't have to be a huge dramatic change. It can be something that's a whisper that becomes a very strong song. So use it in your workplace, that if you love your job and you're just wanting to be inspired, then you be that inspiration and invite others to join you, and you will find that your desire to be there is not only greater, but your ability to leave there and go somewhere else becomes stronger and the transition is smooth. So I invite people also to contemplate that. I have another quote which I'd like to share, that today more than ever before, life must be characterized by a sense of universal responsibility, not only nation to nation and human to human, but also human to all other life forms. That was the Dalai Lama. And so I think that that quote, it could be applied in all centuries of humanity. But especially now, is I invite you to look at the way you treat yourself and that you are teaching others how to treat you. You are teaching the relationship with finances how to treat you. You are teaching your work individuals how to treat you. It is not so much a spoken argument that I'm inviting others to participate in as it is a wealth as a state of mind and confidence as a state of being that you carry within you and that you can inspire others to find that place within themselves regardless of the building that you're in.
Absolutely. You know, our thoughts really are the blueprint for our reality, Cynthia. Well put, you know. And it's time for us to really not be shy about coming together and talking metaphysics. And, you know, it's all right for the person in the cubicle next door to you to know that you have these principles and that you want to share them. You know, everyone thinks you need money to make money and, you know, we're stuck in all this. Ideas make money. Ideas prosper us. Share your ideas with your workmates. Share your ideas. Collaborate. There's so much strength in collaboration. You know, like I said, I've worked in the corporate world, and I know all the lingo. And I know that everybody goes to these meetings, and they get all riled up, and they go, rah, 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 the company, and we're going to do it, and it's going to be great. And then you go back, and, you know, you go back to your district, and the middle management don't give a hoot about how inspired or whatever you are. Those things are changing. Those days are changing. You know, at grassroots level, we are changing. People are going to start listening to middle managers, line managers, and by the way, all of those on the front line again. You know, so again, don't waste your thoughts on ideas that are worthless to you. Don't kill time. It's a great saying, and I can't remember who said it. It's not terrible. So I have no idea, but I'll look it up and tell you next week. So there's a great little saying: great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss places and things. Small minds discuss other people. Does that remind you of your lunchroom or perhaps your little corner of cubicle heaven, you know? Ideas make money. Ideas prosper, you know? So, you know, ultimately, there is no better way for you to make money than to enjoy what you do. And ultimately, it's not, you know, it's not the way you make the money that counts. It's not your craft or your skill. It's your attitude towards it. If you've got that attitude of gratitude, if you're happy, if you're an inspiration in whatever work you do, you don't have to be a metaphysician. You don't have to do inspiring work. Whatever you do, if you're an inspired person, you're going to affect change on some level with your coworkers. And remember, abundance comes to you in many ways, not just from your paycheck. I mean, you know, you may only see your paycheck, but the universe sees everything. So allow the universe to support you. Think of ways to be happy. Find joy where you are now. And keep that happy vibration so that we can be an inspiration and, in return, be inspired by those around you.
Absolutely. Beautifully put.
Hey, we'll try.
Listen, everybody, we are so thankful to have this opportunity to talk with you, to feel you, and to really feel the pulse of the mass consciousness aligning together, and to remember that this spiritual crisis is an opportunity. And if you are at work, at home, if you are in yourself, in your mind, and you are thinking about where you are stuck, start there to claim the opportunity of not the details of how to get unstuck, but to start there by breathing in the energy of freedom to where you are feeling stuck. And to that caller who we lost, if you're thinking about what tool can you do sitting in your chair, I invite you to visualize your bank account and use your breath of life to blow your sacred breath of life energy into your bank account and just watch the numbers turning endlessly through the cooperation of your breath of life. and so on. So we are all tools in this opportunity to make change. I want you all to tune in to hear the Brazilian
and the Brit
next, I think it's December 1st, where we are discussing environmental changes. And so for now, we are signing off.
Okay. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. As always, we welcome your feedback. Our email address is brazilbrit@gmail.com, brazilbrit@gmail.com, or correspondent to Awakening Matters, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070. This is Ani Avedisian, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.